If you're an income investor and you're not generating more than $500 a month, we have one question for you.
Are you crazy?
Let ETFGuide.com help you. A $100,000 portfolio using our timely strategies should be able to generate between $500 and $2,000 per month.
Go to ETFGuide.com to get our monthly income trades.
Click on ETF combos and we'll show you how to turn your investments into a cash cow.
Isn't it time you lowered your risk
and increased your monthly income? Go to ETFGuide.com and we'll show you how.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them.
And now presenting your host,
Ron DeLegge. Ron DeLegge.
Welcome to the program. I'm Ron DeLegge, your financial DJ, and I'll be your host for the next hour. We'll be talking the birds and the bees of successful investing. Coming up on today's show, gold experts are wrong again. Two questions I have. How wrong have experts been about the price of gold this year? And how much money has their bad advice cost people? We'll get into that. Also coming up, why your best offense may actually be playing defense. That axiom has been, by the way, applied in a broad array of fields, including politics, sports, and the military. We're going to apply it to your investment portfolio. Also coming up, we'll be doing an incomplete portfolio report card. Now, you know, I'm a little bit weird in the sense of I like doing things differently, and I have a spree of unorthodoxness. Is that even a word? Unorthodoxy? Is it unorthodoxy or unorthodoxness, English teachers? But you know what I'm trying to say. I'm an unorthodox type of person, and we're going to do something completely radical on today's show, something different. We're going to do an incomplete portfolio report card. Now, if you're a regular listener of this show, you know that this is one of the things that we feature on our weekly program, your investment portfolios. I grade them. I give you an A, a B, a C, a D, or an F so that you can know the strengths and the weaknesses of your investment portfolio. That includes taxable investment accounts, family trusts, 401k plans, IRAs, Roth IRAs, whatever. If it's posing as an investment, I can grade it. But you've already watched me and heard me do complete portfolio report cards where I look at the portfolio. In the five key categories that I always use, risk, diversification, cost, tax efficiency, and performance, and then I give it a final grade of passing or flunking. Now, on today's show, we're going to look at an incomplete portfolio report card, and it's incomplete because, well, I don't have all the data I need to assign a final grade. But I think it's an interesting enough portfolio that I want to share it with you, and it's from a listener in Philadelphia by the name of Ravi. And Ravi is a project director at Oracle Corporation. He's in the software business. We're going to look at his IRA, 401k plan, and taxable brokerage account. He's got a combined value of $934,000. So not a small sum of money. He's 58 years old, and he sent me his portfolio data. But it's not complete. So we're going to look at what makes it incomplete, and we'll discuss all of that and more. Now, if you'd like to join me to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, if you want to talk about the financial markets and have an intelligent conversation about how what's happening today affects you and impacts your own portfolio, give me your first name along with your city. You can call me at 877-711-5611. This is a live broadcast, so bring your A game. Again, 877-711-5611. Again, your first name and your city and the particular ticker symbols that you want me to cover. Now, if you want to get a free portfolio report card where I evaluate your portfolio, we can do that. You can get in touch with me. Just go to ETFGuide.com and click on my picture. And you can get a free portfolio report card. And by the way, if you get an A, if your portfolio is good enough to score an A, and we don't see many A's. But if you want to try me, if you want to take my portfolio challenge, go ahead, be my guest. You get an A on Ron DeLegge's portfolio report card, you're ripping it. And for ripping it, I'll pay you $100. So that's my challenge to all listeners. I don't care if your portfolio is $10, $10 million, or $10 billion. Try me. Again, 877-711-5611. So let's get into something I led off with, talking about gold experts. And I bring this up because of the fact that this really shows, in terms of sentiment. Sentiment means the market's mood, and it really shows that at key turning points, when sentiment or the market's mood is overly bullish or overly bearish, that can point to turning points in certain key asset classes. Now, we're talking about the strategic part of your portfolio, where you can capitalize on these short-term fluctuations, these short-term dislocations, if we can find a word that refers to that in the proper way. So in terms of gold itself, we see the price of gold bullion as tracked by the Spider Gold Shares, ticker symbol GLD, ahead by 11%. And by the way, gold bugs will be very proud to know that gold this year, year-to-date, and that's through the market close of July 11th, is now outperforming on a year-to-date basis U.S. stocks, the S&P 500, up 6.5% since the beginning of the year. That's ticker symbol SPY. All you keep hearing in the media is stocks are at all-time highs. The Dow just hit 17,000. The S&P 500 just hit another record high. Well, what you don't hear is the fact that commodities, precious metals, are actually outperforming on a year-to-date basis. But here's something that I asked at the beginning of this particular show, and I think I want to ask it again. How wrong have experts been about the gold market this year? And how much money has their bad advice cost people? Number one, let's tackle the first question by extracting and analyzing some recent headlines, okay? This was from Forbes magazine on March 14th, quote, gold miners failed to launch, end of quote. This was a political guy, actually a political big mouth. His name is Max Keiser. He also tries to double as an investment guru. Max Keiser, on May 30th, had the audacity to say, quote, gold vulnerable to manipulative sell-off in June, end of quote. Boy, was he pretty wrong about that. Here's James Glassman at Kiplinger on June 4th, quote, why I still hate gold. Here's Pisani from the four-letter network CNBC on that same date, June 4th, 2014, Pisani says gold can't get traction, end of quote. And here's the good one. The good one, possibly the best one of them all, Bloomberg, on that same date, June 4th, saying, quote, kiss the gold market goodbye, end of quote. Now, all of these headlines, as they were hitting the wire, gold, silver, and that whole group of precious metals were in the midst of hitting multi-month lows. The same is true for stocks in the gold mining sector. They were also hitting multi-month lows as all of these media talking heads were proclaiming the death of gold. Now, it was during the same period that the market sentiment towards precious metals began to turn excessively bearish, excessively negative. So while all of these big mouth experts were telling you to sell or to avoid gold and the mining sector, from a strategic perspective, that offered up an incredible opportunity to do the exact opposite and make some money. And when we come back in the next segment, I'm going to share with you a trade, actually two trades that we executed. This is for the strategic part of your portfolio, not the core. At etfguide.com, I want to share with you time-stamped research that shows all of these media flunkouts have been misleading their followers about the direction of gold all year long. They continue to be wrong, so we'll get into that If you'd like to join me, I'm here, 877-711-5611. Also coming up, we're going to be doing an incomplete portfolio report card for Ravi. He's got a really nice size portfolio, $934,000. We'll get into the nitty-gritty of that and more. This is the Index Investing Show. Go nowhere.
The Index Investing Show with Lon DeLegge.
So before we delve into Ravi's incomplete portfolio report card, and what I mean by incomplete, as I alluded to earlier, we're going to do something different. We're going to do something unorthodox and completely radical. We're not going to do a complete portfolio report card. I'm going to do an incomplete portfolio report card. And the reason it's incomplete, well, you'll find out why. But the main reason here is I don't have all the data I need, but it is an interesting portfolio. We'll delve into some of the details. $9 investment portfolio. That's the combined value of Ravi's IRA, 401k plan, and taxable account. So stay tuned for that. As I was saying earlier, why have gold experts, or how wrong have they been about the gold market this year? How much money has their bad advice cost people? I just extracted some recent headlines showing you just how idiotic and how wrong that experts have been about the gold market. Now, I'm not a gold bug per se. I don't believe in buying gold at whatever price all the time and at any given moment. I think gold is a type of asset class where you've got to pick your spots. It's not the type of asset class where you can just ignorantly buy at whatever price. But here's what the media has been saying about gold. Just as it was hitting multi-month lows in late May, early June, Forbes said that gold miners failed to launch. Boy, were they wrong. James Glassman at Kiplinger said, "Why I still hate gold." Boy, was he wrong. Pisani at CNBC, "Gold can't get any traction." Boy, was he wrong. Kiss the gold market goodbye. That was Bloomberg on June 4th. Boy, were they wrong. The fact is, on a year-to-date basis, gold, along with commodities, continue to outperform U.S. stocks and actually stocks globally. Those are the facts. But apparently, they're not paying attention to the facts, are they? Now, while all of these big-mouth experts were telling you to sell or to avoid gold and the mining sector, I told my readers at ETFGuide.com, subscribers to my Profit Strategy newsletter, to do the exact opposite. Here's what I said, and I'm quoting it, and I'll be happy to send you the research report. It was issued on June 4th, just as all these big-mouth experts were saying the exact opposite. I was saying the exact opposite. I was saying to ignore them. Quote, when sentiment extremes are this bearish, more often than not, it signals a reversal turning point and a buying opportunity. Although the market vector's gold miners ETF, that's ticker symbol GDX, has performed about twice as bad as gold over the past 3 months, we're buying GDX shares at $22.50. Our tandem option trades is to buy the GDX July 22 call options at around $100 a contract. We like the odds of a short-term bounce in gold, especially if the equity market experiences its long overdue correction. And if GDX follows its historical pattern, it should outperform gold to the upside. End of quote. Those are the exact words from the research report issued to subscribers. So how has it worked out? Well, that time-stamped trade to go long gold miners, which was issued on June 5th, is now up over 20% since that June 5th buy alert. Now, the gold miners ETF that aims for triple daily leverage, ticker symbol NUGT, up over 75%. Okay? What has the S&P done over that same time frame? Up about 2%. Now, media people aren't the only ones who've been dead wrong about precious metals. Even Wall Street's big shots have missed on this one. The great vampire squid, That's Goldman Sachs just reiterated its gold forecast of $1,050 per ounce by year end. So how much money have people lost from the bad advice of these experts about the price and the direction of gold? Well, they don't pay attention to the sentiment, the market's mood. They don't pay attention to the charts, do they? So let's evaluate the missed opportunity cost. Let's measure it by looking at the unleveraged GDX trade, which has already gained over 20% since our 6.5.14 alert. So 20% potential gain that people would have missed out on had you listened to the media. And for the extra aggressive contrarian, that GDX July 22 call option trade that we alerted our ETF Guide subscribers to, we're out of that trade, by the way, and booked a 188% time-stamped trade. Now, why so high? Why 188%? Well, that's because options are a highly leveraged type of trade, and that's why you see that type of outsized gain. But the point here, again, is that news headlines are a wonderful contrarian indicator, and when the market's mood, along with technical patterns align, it's a great opportunity to pounce. 877-711-5611 is the number. My name is Ron DeLegge. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. Please join us. If you want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, if you want me to pay you $100 to get a portfolio report card, if you score an A, that's what I will pay you. That's my challenge to all of our listeners. You think you're so smart? Go ahead, try me. Now, if your portfolio is managed professionally by an investment advisor, I really don't care. Send it to me. I'll grade it. I'll tell you what the fees are. I'll tell you what the actual cost of the portfolio is. I'll slice it and dice it. I'll perform surgery on it like you have never seen before. And I will tell you not only what the cost of that portfolio is, I'll tell you if it's tax efficient. I'll tell you if it's diversified. I'll tell you if it matches your unique investor personality and your risk profile. And then I'll also tell you what the performance of that portfolio has been versus corresponding benchmark indexes. And I don't use generic benchmarks like the S&P 500. See, that's what Wall Street loves to do. They love to compare everything to the S&P 500. They love to compare bond funds to the S&P 500. That's how distorted they are. They love to compare international stock funds to the S&P 500. See, that's comparing apples with oranges. I don't do that. I look at a blended benchmark, which compares the asset allocation of your portfolio versus that passive blended benchmark. That's the correct point of reference. Why doesn't Wall Street use blended benchmarks? You know why? Because it compares apples with apples when you do it that way. And they don't like that. They like to play magic tricks. They like to distort and confuse and operate in a manner that's not transparent. But we slice and dice through that. Ron DeLegge doesn't play that, does he? So get in touch with me. Go to ETFguide.com. You can click on my portfolio report card. Also, for those of you that want strategic trades for the non-core part of your investment portfolio, just as I did earlier described with regard to the gold market, we've also got that available to paid subscribers at ETFguide.com. Now, taking a look at what key markets are up to so far this year, S&P 500, SPY, up 6.5% since the beginning of the year. And as I told you, gold has been outperforming U.S. stocks so far this year. GLD up almost 11%. International stocks lagging, up about 1% VEA. Emerging market stocks, VWO, up about 7%. And look at REITs, ticker symbol VNQ, up 17%. And another area that is closely related, which is what we're going to talk about in the next segment, defense, utilities, XLU. The best performing S&P sector so far this year, up almost 13% and easily outperforming the broader S&P 500. Your best offense may actually be playing defense. I'm going to explain to you all the reasons why that is true coming up next. If you'd like to join us to talk about your own portfolio, a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, you want to call in to complain to argue or to make a point, 877-711-5611. Give us your first name along with your city. I'll be right back.
Is a lack of dividend income starving your retirement portfolio? 30 years ago, an investment in the S&P 500 took just 12 years to double from dividends. Today, it would take that same investor almost 40 years to double their money because of depressed dividend yields. Isn't it time you fight back? The Profit Strategy newsletter at ETFGuide.com can show you how. A $100,000 portfolio using our timely strategies should be able to generate between $500 and $2,000 per month. Do what the smart dividend income investors are doing. Click on the Profit Strategy newsletter at ETFGuide.com and we'll show you how to turn your investments into a cash cow. Isn't it time you started squeezing more money from your investments? Be a smart dividend income investor, not a victim. Put your retirement portfolio on overdrive by going to ETFGuide.com to get your monthly income trades. Click on the Profit Strategy newsletter at ETFGuide.com today.
You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm your host, Ron DeLeggi. I am also the editor and publisher of the ETF Profit Strategy newsletter, which is available at etfguide.com. I encourage you to pick up a copy. When you pick up a subscription to that newsletter, by the way, you also will see our monthly income trade, which we've already done for July. We picked up just over $500 of monthly income. Now, in the month of June, we generated over $1,200 of monthly income. That's our income mix, all ETF portfolio, and we do it once a month. Now, our August income trade will be coming up next week, so if you want to join us and find out what we're doing for the month of August, just go to ETFGuide.com and click on the Profit Strategy newsletter and subscribe. If you'd like to join us, I'm here. If you want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF, if you want to talk about your investment portfolio and have a intelligent conversation about your money, give me your first name along with your city. If you want to have an unintelligent conversation, I'll take those calls too, 877-711-5611. You can also tweet the program live at Index Show and my email address, ron@indexshow.com. So let's do an incomplete portfolio report card to help you understand what I require, what I need before I can assign you a final grade. And I'm doing an incomplete portfolio report card because I want to do something unorthodox, and because I generally don't do this. I don't do incomplete portfolio report cards, but I figured I would do it as an exercise to help you understand what I need in order to finalize a grade. So Ravi's portfolio, just so you know, is worth the combined value around $934,000. He's got $533,000 in an IRA and 401k plan, and then he's got a taxable brokerage account with just over $400,000. He works in the software field, and he manages his money himself. I asked him to describe his investing style or his strategy. He considers himself a conservative investor. He's got 90% of the money invested, and he uses what he calls a delta neutral trading strategy. Now, what's his main investment goal? Well, he says to earn 6 to 8% regardless of the market direction. He wants to earn 6 to 8% every quarter on the whole year. So 6 to 8% every quarter. That's a pretty aggressive target. I asked him what worries him. He said a repeat of Black Monday, October 19th, 1987. So, as I said, this is a pretty good size portfolio, $934,000 combined value. So what's missing from Ravi's portfolio? What are the missing ingredients? Well, taking a look at his portfolio, it really... He's got a lot of holdings. He's got more than 20 holdings easily in this portfolio, these combined accounts of the taxable, the IRA, the 401k, and it's just a lot of positions to manage. Now, I always like to err on the side of simplicity. Now, I'm not saying oversimplify, but I am saying simplify. And to have this many different holdings, I mean, he's just all over the place. He's got a lot of mutual funds, some of the ticker symbols, ABRCX, ALSNX, ATACX, FESGX, FBALX. So he's got a lot of different holdings, but all of these funds, for the most part, are focused on tactical type of strategies, meaning long, short type of funds that go both long or short the market, or volatility. He also owns a little bit of exposure to master limited partnerships. He's got some exposure to bond funds. In terms of diversification, I think he does okay. He's got exposure to most of the major asset classes. But the problem here, and this is why it's incomplete, is that Ravi doesn't have statements of performance going back at least a year. So I can't calculate what his investment performance returns are unless he's got statements at least going back a year. So that's why this portfolio is incomplete. It's missing data. Now, you can't tell Ron DeLegge to grade your portfolio if you're missing data, because I'm not going to do it. You're going to get an incomplete grade or incomplete score. It's like turning in your homework to your teacher that's not completed. It's not done. And what's the teacher going to do? They're not going to give you an F. They're not going to give you, well, maybe some teachers will do that. I won't. I'm not going to flunk you. But what I will do is I'll say you have an incomplete score because I don't have the complete data. And so in Ravi's case, when he has the complete data, I'll be able to give him a final report card and a final grade. But Ravi's portfolio, I mean, he's got exposure to all of these very tactically strategy-type-oriented mutual funds. Like he's got balanced funds, and these managers can go long or short the market. They can jump in and out of various asset classes. It can be in stocks one day and in bonds the next day. And the next day, they can be in cash. And the following day, they can be in gold. And then after that, they can be back in cash. So what I'm saying here is that this type of strategy, what he's done here is that he's using non-core investments as his core, when he should in fact be using core investments as his core. So what do I mean by that? Well, in choosing the investments that represent the specific asset classes within your portfolio, and we know what asset classes are, right? What are asset classes? Fancy word for stocks, bonds, gold, cash, real estate. These are major asset classes. So in choosing the investments that represent specific asset classes within your portfolio, those investments must represent the asset classes in the broadest and most diverse sense. And they should not be tactical. They should not be long and short. They should not be in and out of these asset classes. So, for example, let me give you a very clear and concise example of an investment that represents a specific asset class in the broadest and most diverse sense. Let's just look at U.S. stocks, something we're all familiar with. Ticker symbol SCHB. That's the Schwab Total U.S. Stock Market ETF, which has exposure to the entire group of stocks, large, mid, and small company stocks with here in the U.S. So this is what we would call a core investment holding. Now, if you were to say to me, Ron, I've used as my core exposure to U.S. stocks General Electric, ticker symbol GE, because it's a broadly diversified conglomerate. Yes, it's an individual stock, but it's a broadly diversified conglomerate. Therefore, I've taken the liberty to say in my portfolio that one stock is going to represent my core exposure to U.S. stocks. You know what I'm going to say to you? I'm going to say to you, that's a dumb approach, and it's one that doesn't work, because no single stock can broadly represent an entire equity class, period. I don't care how broadly diversified General Electric is. It cannot represent, in a broad sense, a core asset class like U.S. stocks. And so for that reason, that type of strategy is not going to fly. But going back to Ravi's portfolio, he lacks what we would call core holdings in his portfolio. In other words, positions, funds, ETFs that broadly represent asset classes. Now, he's got a few. Ticker symbol GLD, for example, which broadly represents the gold market. He's got some exposure to EEM, which is broad exposure and a good representative of emerging market stocks. EMB, which is emerging market bonds, also a good representative, broadly speaking, a core holding to that area. But other than that, the bulk of these other areas are not being covered in Ravi's portfolio. This is the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. I'll be right back.
The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge.
All right, welcome back to the break. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Index Investing Show. Great to have you with us. And if you'd like to take my portfolio report card challenge, be my guest. I'll pay you $100 if your portfolio scores an A. I'll look at it in all the major categories, the things that matter, like cost, like diversification, like risk, like tax efficiency, and performance. And if your portfolio gets an A, like I said, I'll pay you $100. Just get in touch with me. Go to etfguide.com. And click on the portfolio report card. So looking at Ravi's investment portfolio, $934,000 combined value. It's invested across stocks, IRA, 401k plan, along with taxable investment account. Now, he does not have really any exposure to individual stocks. He does have exposure to most of his assets via mutual funds. And as I explained to you before, most of these positions are what we call non-core investments. In other words, long short types of funds that jump in and out of asset classes, tactical types of mutual funds, managed futures, funds that trade on volatility or benefit from higher volatility. And he does have exposure to cash, which is a major asset class. He does have exposure to gold. That's a major asset class. He's got exposure to emerging market stocks. That's a major asset class. So, and then indirectly, he's got some exposure to stocks, very small exposure via some of these tactical positions. But as I said earlier, and it's very important that our listeners understand this, you cannot use non-core investments like a managed futures fund or a long-short fund, that's a non-core investment, as a core holding. You should be using core investments as your core holding. And a core investment, as I defined for you, is an asset or investment that gives you passive, broad exposure to that asset class in the most diverse sense. So we use the example of General Electric. You can't take an individual stock like General Electric and say to me, I'm going to use this stock for my core exposure to U.S. stocks because it's a broadly diversified conglomerate. And I'm diversified because I own that one stock. And that's my exposure to U.S. stocks. I don't need to own any other U.S. stocks or any other funds. Well, General Electric, like all individual stocks, are classified as non-core holdings. They're non-core investments because they can't represent, in a broad sense, an entire equity asset class. So this is what you need to understand. But in Ravi's case, this is what he's doing. He's taking all these non-core types of investments and he's trying to use them as core holdings. And so my point here is that you should be using core investments, core holdings, to get his exposure to the major asset classes. So that is one of the biggest mistakes I see here, but he's not going to get a complete grade. I'm not grading him on his portfolio. I'm not giving an A, B, C, D, or F. I'm just making an observation so that all of you can learn from this and look at your own portfolio and arrange it in such a way where it makes sense, where it's helping you to progress and get along with your investment goals. Because this is part of having a portfolio that helps you to reach your goals. And Ravi, by the way, is an extremely fluent and financially literate person. I spoke with him off the air for 45 minutes about his portfolio, and he's extremely bright. It's just that he's got to have a viewpoint that looks at his portfolio in terms of separating his core from his non-core. You cannot take a hammer and have it do a screwdriver's job. The hammer should do the hammer's job. The screwdriver should do the screwdriver's job. So in this sense, it's that way with his tactical holdings, his long short funds, his volatility funds. These are all non-core investments that are trying to do something they weren't intended to do. So that is my observation to him. And hopefully that will help him along. But the other thing too is having complete data. He doesn't have performance data going back a year. Therefore, I can't compare what his performance is versus what the major benchmark indexes have done over the same time frame. So for that reason, he gets an incomplete score. It's an incomplete portfolio report card. I need complete data before I can give you a final grade. So Ravi's going to stay in touch with me, and very soon, hopefully, he'll have complete data so that we can feature his portfolio on an upcoming show and give him a final portfolio report card. 877-711-5611 is the number. You're listening to the Index Investing Show. I'm Ron DeLegge. Please join us if you want to talk about a particular stock, mutual fund, ETF. You want to talk about your investment portfolio? You can get in touch with me. My Twitter handle, @IndexShow. I do have a new video that I just posted on our Twitter feed, and the theme is very interesting. The theme is how to own Google without spending $500 plus for one share. So check out my latest video. It's posted on our Twitter feed. @IndexShow is my Twitter handle. And you can watch that video about how to own Google without spending $500 plus per share. Now, how to improve your investment performance by playing defense. The best defense is a good offense. That axiom has been applied in a broad array of fields, including politics, sports, and the military. The 1985 Chicago Bears are still regarded as one of the best NFL defensive teams ever. Not only did they lead the league in defense that year, but the Bears' defensive unit allowed just 198 points scored during the regular season, or roughly 12 points per game. So it was an amazing year defensively. So in terms of your own investment portfolio, it's important, I think, to play defense, especially in an investment climate where the vast majority of retail and professional investors are still playing a one-dimensional game of offense. And we featured recently some defensive plays. One of those was utilities, ticker symbol XLU, which tracks S&P utilities. These are stocks that are in this particular sector. They've easily outperformed the broader S&P 500 with a year-to-date gain in the vicinity. What is the year-to-date gain on utilities? Around 13% versus the S&P 500, which is up about 6.5%. Plus, you're getting dividends. That return doesn't even include the dividend payments. Another one that we also featured as a recent weekly pick and a defensive play is ticker symbol REZ, which focuses on apartment REITs. And another area that continues to be a great defensive play, as long as interest rates remain tame, and they have so far in 2014, you will continue to see these high-yielding defensive sectors perform pretty well, like utilities and like REITs. The broader REIT sector, VNQ, up 17% year to date. So look at some of these defensive sectors, and especially if the broader stock market has a sell-off and it's long overdue. We haven't had a 10% correction since 2011. That's a very long time. It's very abnormal that we would go this long without a correction in the stock market, but it's coming. And the time to prepare for it is before it happens, not after the fact. Prepare your investment portfolio right now for what's coming. We don't know what's coming. The market may go another year without a correction. We don't know, but eventually this too shall pass, and we will get more volatility. And so the point is, better to be early and be ready than to be late and not ready. Or as one of my late grandparents always used to say, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. And so that was used as a reason to collect all kinds of garbage in the basement. The basement was filled to the ceiling with junk. Better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. When we went into that basement, it was there right when we needed it. So approach your investment portfolio that way. That does it for another episode of the Index Investing Show. Hopefully you've enjoyed today's program. You can listen to our podcast. Go to indexshow.com/podcast. That does it. I'm out.
The opinions expressed in this broadcast are not necessarily that of our advertisers, sponsors, or broadcast partners. The discussion of investing is general and should not be construed as investment advice or an offer to buy or sell securities. Listeners are responsible for their own investment decisions and results. Before investing in mutual funds or ETFs, always consult a prospectus for risk, charges, expenses, and other information. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Past performance is not indicative of future results. No reproduction or dissemination of the Index Investing Show is permitted without the expressed written consent of its producers.